remain standing, and we'll try to read our text this morning. And I hope the Lord will help me a little bit. I want to try to encourage your heart if I can. And boy, I'm going to tell you, before I begin, I want to say this, that I started an outline on the message this morning three times. And each time tore it up and threw it away. And began to seek God's face for what He wanted. And I believe without a doubt from the atmosphere today, I believe God directed me, no doubt, in the right direction for the morning hour. And to be honest, I almost switched and preached this morning what I'm going to preach tonight, and just about preached a reversal. But God, the Holy Ghost, said, don't do it. Amen. And I'm not going to do it. I'm going to preach what the Lord's laid on my heart. And if we're here till 4 o'clock this afternoon, so be it.
Amen.
This is God's day.
Amen.
I've come to go to church. I've come to get in and to get something and not get out.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you in here, if you don't get something shortly, you will get out.
Amen.
Let's read our text together. Verse number 15 of Solomon chapter 5. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. May the Lord add His rich blessing to that verse of Scripture and quicken that word to our hearts in the house of God today. If you know how to pray, I want to ask you to pray. I'm confident there's people in here this morning got to have something from God. The devil's aware of that also. And he'd do his utmost to prevent it, to throw a chalk in the spokes, you know, put a stick in the spokes like in a bicycle. That'll lock a bike up pretty quick. And he'd like to lock it up if he could. But I believe I got too much God in my heart after the upper room experience this morning to really worry about it a whole lot. I believe God's here with me. And we're going to do our best to preach what God's laid on our heart. Amen. So you pray for me and with me this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful for Thy Word that's been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. I thank You, Lord, for the blessing of the morning hour there in our holy place together. Thank You for the Sunday school hour and what we gleaned from it. The great truths that once again stirred my soul and reminded me, Lord, that in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I pray that in this hour that we've come to, that You'll give wisdom to Your preacher, and God, that You'll give the spirit of revelation and understanding to the people of God. Help me to preach this morning with power, that souls may be delivered from that bondage that they're under and brought out of the captivity that they're living in. I pray for my physical man this morning, that You'd give me bodily strength to stand and to preach, Lord, and to proclaim this Word with great zeal, not only of spirit and heart, but in this body that I dwell in. Use it, I pray, for the honor and the glory of God. Save somebody today. Help Your people, revive the church, and give courage to every heart, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our thought comes out of the first clause of chapter number 15 of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 15. where the wise man said his legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of gold. I tell you, I want to preach on them legs a little while. And I found it difficult this week to get settled in exactly where I wanted to be with the message. I started to preach everything there is in the Bible about his legs. But we would have been here till 4 o'clock this afternoon. You know, our legs are used for standing. We stand on our legs. Our legs are used for stooping. I thought about the places that he stands in, and I thought about how that he stooped down and wrote on the ground there in the Gospel of John, and how spiritually speaking, he stooped down when he came to this earth and died in our place. And then the legs are made for stepping. And I thought about the places that Jesus walked while he sojourned in this world. And but I want to preach, if God will help me, just a little old thought that and nothing super in the thought. I started to preach on Jesus carries my load. Amen. But and I'm glad, thank God, that he does. Yes. Amen. Amen. But I think from the looks of your countenance this morning, I want to preach for a little while on the thought, Jesus will carry you through. Amen. I'm telling you, when you cannot carry yourself, Jesus will carry you through. If you will look in Luke, and I don't want you to turn there, but Luke chapter number 15, that story of the prodigal son and the other stories there, Jesus, when he found that little old sheep, he laid it up on his shoulder and carried it all the way back to the Father's house. And I want to say, my friend, that Jesus will carry you through. I tell you, some of you look awful weak in the knees this morning. Some of you look awful feeble this morning. But take heart, my children. For we serve a great and a powerful God that will carry you through this morning. Yes, sir. If you're genuinely saved by the grace of God. As somebody said last week, if you are pure Jerusalem steel, you take my word for it that God will carry you through. For the foundation of God standeth sure. Brother, he knows every one of his children. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ to depart from iniquity. But God, our Lord, will carry you through. Now, the bride here is continuing her particular description of our heavenly bridegroom. And she now begins to draw our attention to his legs. And somebody said, preacher, that we ought not to look at a man's legs. It's all right to look at his legs. Amen. Hallelujah to God. She didn't see any nakedness, by the way, when she looked on his legs. She said his legs are like marble pillars that are set in sockets of gold. She didn't say anything about them being hairy. Didn't say anything about necessarily the muscular structure of his legs. But I tell you, she saw something spiritual about the legs of the Lord. She said that they're like pillars of marble and they are set in sockets of gold. Now, the Hebrew word, church, for that's used here, for the word marble, it means white or it means fine twined linen. And the fact that his legs are like marble and they're like fine twined linen and they're set in sockets of gold. That is that his feet are like sockets of gold. We might say that the foundation of the pillars sets in sockets of gold. There's not a doubt that the gold stands for the eternality of Almighty God. Amen. He is the eternal one this morning. Always has been, always shall be, the Lord God Almighty. Somebody said, where'd God come from? Bible said out of the north. Amen. Wherever the north is, that's where He came from. But I'm going to tell you, there never has been a time when He was not. He is the Lord God Almighty. He that is and was and is to come, John said, the Lord God Almighty. But those white pillars, those marble pillars, and I'm not adding anything to the Bible. I looked up that word marble, and it means white, or it means fine twined linen. Now, friend, if you look in the Bible at fine twined linen, it stands for righteousness. He's got righteous legs today, brother. He's Almighty God. In Him, there is no blemish this morning. But it also stands for fine twined linen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at when you take the statement in its entirety? We find the Lord Jesus standing in eternity's past as with legs as marble in sockets of gold. I'm going to tell you what we find there, friend. We see our great high priest as he's wrapped his legs in fine twined linen and all eternity, and those legs bear up the children of God. I'm glad, thank God, that Almighty God, He that was and is our support in this hour, and that He will carry you through. He's got the strength and the power in His legs to bear up the body, which is the church, and He shall, by that power, carry us through. Amen. Are you with me? I hope so. Your legs carry your body. What is His body? The church is His body. And son, those marble legs set in all eternity. I might say that He's been a standing there throughout all eternity. Yes, sir. And He'll be standing there when the devil's in hell and the earth is rolled up like a scroll and the sun shines no more and there's no more moon and stars. Those legs, like marble, my friend, set in sockets of gold, will yet be standing, bearing up the church of the living God through all time and eternity. I believe what she saw when she looked. When she looked, she said, she's describing Jesus to the daughters of Jerusalem. And I believe she said, He's my support. He's the one that's carrying my load. He's the one that's bearing me up. Somebody said, What is it that makes Him stand there? Like Brother Wayne's been teaching in Sunday school. Them 12 stones of the tribes of Israel on the breastplate of the great high priest. And it was there that He bare them close to His heart. Now I'm glad, thank God, you and I are like a spiritual house made up, built up of lively stones. Thank God that we're born on the very heart of God. It's His love for you and I that bears us up, my friend, in the power and the strength of the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah to God. I might say He supports us by His righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you what, friend, you can't stand in your own righteousness. I don't care how good you get, how spiritual you think you are, you better take heed, my friend, because there may come a time when you'll fall. But if we will depend on Him and His strength and His righteousness and His marble eggs set in the sockets of gold, He will bear us up. Hallelujah. When we're weak and weary, and our feeble knees hang down, and our legs begin to buckle. You ever feel like buckling? Be quite honest, mine's a little trembly right now. Mr. Parkinson's has got mine just a tad bit on the shaky legs. Jordan Ashley calls me, she sings a little old song. She says, "Jitterbug, jitterbug, jitterbug, pop." She calls me Pop. And I get the jitters every now and then. My legs are a little weak right now. But I'm going to tell you something. I got in that upper room this morning and cast all my care on Him. Amen. Because He cares for me. And I'm going to tell you, He let me know in no uncertain terms that His power and strength, He would bear me up, my friend. And that He has sufficient for me in my every need. Nobody leave me. When we're weak and weary and our old legs begin to buckle. You ever been there? You feel like you've taken the last spiritual step you can take? Feel like you've went as far as you can go with God? The adversary is too strong and the fiery darts are too hot. The world is too alluring and Satan is too enticing. And your heart has been overwhelmed by carnality. And those old spiritual legs begin to buckle. I'm going to tell you by faith, you can cast yourself upon Him. And thank God I'm, a son. He bears up all the church of the living God. Every child of God. I don't hope nobody getting mad at me here, but as the old timers would say, He'll bear up all the elect on Him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Yes! He'll carry you through. Amen. When we're weak and feeble and our knees buckle, He is yet strong and able to carry us through. When the wiles of the devil make our standing difficult, thank God He stands with us and for us. And in His strength, He defends us from all the fiery darts of the devil. He has provided for you and I an armor that we can put on and resist the devil in the evil day. And thank God, having done all to stand, we can stand, my friend. Even in 2001, we can stand. Many when preachers are all over America are caving in, compromising, chasing skirts and going after women, turning an ear to the liberals and the compromise. Amen. When the world out there is dressing like a death, when the churches are dressing like the world, when their women don't know what it means to put on right clothes, they don't know what it means to cover up their stinking naked breast, their buttocks. I went up there in the bank the other day, and that woman up there had a slit plumb up past her thigh. I'm telling you, it embarrassed me. Huh? God, hey, slits are not for God's people of no caliber. Are you listening to me? We don't, when everybody else is caving in and growing weak, I'm glad, thank God, that we can be a peculiar people. We can still be a different people. Some of these Pentecostals today, and I love them, I'm not criticizing them, but buddy, they'll put on them long dresses plumb to the ground, but there's only one problem. They look like they've been melted and run down into them things, son. And they leave, I mean, every bulge, every wrinkle, That's right. Come on in the house. It's yet a showing. And generally most of them is buttoned up the front or the back. And they got about 20 buttons unbuttoned just to let you know that they're yet worldly as all get out. Amen to God. They're like Pharisees, my friend, that have a religion outwardly. But in words, I'm talking about in holiness, they deny the Lord God Almighty. Son, I ain't about to let up. I'm not letting up and I'm not backing up, buddy. Amen. I'm like a preacher told me the other day, I don't mind a little makeup, but I can't handle cake up. I've seen a lot of women, bless God, look like a somebody's birthday cake been decorated. Huh? And a lot of women today, you don't know whether they're black or white. For laying in a tanning booth, my friend, about 7 or 8 hours, seven days a week. Amen. I've never seen an hour when white women want to be black and black women want to look white. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of my little hobby horses. It just vexes my righteous soul when white girls want to try to dress gaudy and clatter like blacks and act like they're black in color. Now, I'm not running them down. That's their culture. They can dress any way they want to. That's a lot of that's their culture. But it ain't our culture. I won't charge you nothing for that, friend. If I was black, I'd want to be black and be proud of it. But I'm white. And I want to dress like a white man. And talk like one and look like one. They had a few years ago, whites were kinking their hair and blacks was a curling it.
Right.
Come on in the house, children. I don't know how I got off on that. But I'm telling you, God, Jesus will carry us through. You better believe, Will. I'm not a backing up for you or nobody else. Amen to God. Jude 24 and 25. By the way, there ain't but one chapter. Like I said, Jude 24 and 25. Now unto Him who? Unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Thanks be unto God, keep you from falling. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah to God. When He presents you faultless, He's going to have exceeding joy. Hallelujah to God. He's going to be proud of what grace has done in your life. Amen. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. I don't have time to turn to Peter. But Brother Peter said, now if these things remain in you, they shall make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the work of God. And if these things be in you, ye shall never fall. I'm telling you, my friend, a man doesn't have to succumb to the devil nor to the flesh. You don't have to give over to females and the flesh and become a whoremonger. I'm telling you, a man or a woman can be faithful to their spouse. Yes, sir, buddy. You better believe it. These things be in you, Peter said. You're never going to fall. Somebody said, what happened to folks that fall? Apparently, some of those virtues are not in them. I won't charge you nothing for that. Read 2 Peter chapter 1. You'll find out where I'm at. Amen. That's right. 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strong. What about 2 Corinthians 13? Quench you like men.
Amen.
Be strong, praise God, in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Buddy, I'll tell you, He can bear us up. He'll carry us through. Hallelujah to God. And I'm going to put this in for some of you. He can carry you through, bless your heart, with a great big smile on your face and a praise in God every step of the way. Somebody said, "Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through." That missionary stood here, sat in my office and told me that after a hurricane went through down at their place while they was out of the islands to see one of his kids get married or graduate from school or something. They went back and the whole roof was blown off the house. All their furniture was ruined. And he said when he had to get back, he had to kill 5 rats that had got in his house. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, them rats, you know, there's a lot of rats in America. These are called Canefield rats, and they measured from 24 to 30 inches long in the house." You're talking about eating you out of house and home, buddy. Don't leave the sugar unguarded, buddy. Don't leave that cheese bag gone, buddy. That's gone now. I mean, it'll be gone if you leave it open. Are you listening to me? We think we got it rough.
Right, right.
Praise God, we live a life of luxury. Yeah. Psalm 27:1, listen to this. "The Lord is the light of my salvation.
Amen.
Whom shall I fear?
Amen.
The Lord is the strength of my life."
Amen.
Read it, buddy. The Lord is the strength of my life. What gives us our spiritual ability to go on? The Lord, holy and true, with marble pillars set in sockets of gold, He'll bear us up and carry us through. Hallelujah. The Lord is the strength. Let me ask you something. Where do you get your energy? I'm talking about your spiritual energy. I know what time it is, too. Where do you get your spiritual energy? The Lord is my strength of my life.
Amen.
Of whom, David said, shall I fear? What are you afraid of today?
Right.
What's got you cowed down again today?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I'm going to keep hammering on it till you either get right or run me off, whichever one you decide to do. Who are you afraid of?
Amen.
Who got you browbeat? Somebody said, "Oh, the preacher, you are a lying, get you, gaunt you, and your mammy don't want you. I ain't preached nothing but sugar sticks for the last 2 years to you."
Amen.
I'm trying to help you today.
Amen.
Will we ever learn that when we're weak, we're the strongest? When we ourselves grow weak, then are we strong. Paul said, "I will glory in necessities, in reproaches, in persecution, in tribulation. For when I am weak," he said, "then it's when I'm strong." I'm going to tell you what, I've got more godly power. And I'm closer to God right now in the upper room since I found out I had this disease than I've been all of my life. I don't want you to cry for me, but I left here yesterday and I got home last night and come down out of that upper room and stopped where Miss Hall was working on her Sunday school lesson. I said, "Sister Hall, I'm in such pain and my body feels like it's so tired and yet I can't find rest for it. And I just about wish in my body that I'd die today." And I'm here to tell you, friend, in the upper room this morning. Woo! Where are you at, Brother Ricky? I'm telling you, a breeze from another world come through and blowed in my soul, buddy. And I realize, Brother Doug, all over again, that I'm being carried by a man that's got legs like marble pillars and they set in sockets of gold. And what he's doing for me, he's done it throughout all eternity for every saint of God that's ever been born into the family. And what he's done for me, he will do for you. Not determined, sick or otherwise. Saved, how I love to proclaim it. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's right, friend. Bless his wonderful name, Shelby. The Lord is the strength of my life.
Amen.
Who whom shall I fear? Where'd my glasses go, boy? Get my glasses.
Amen. Amen.
Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth. Now get this now. My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart. And my portion forever. He didn't say anything about being the strength of our flesh. Psalmist said, my flesh and my heart faileth. But he said, God is the strength of my heart. Let the stinking flesh die.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I've got news for you. There is a dreaded disease working in our members that will eventually destroy the body of this flesh, this earthly tabernacle that we're in. Oh, but thanks be unto God. There is a power that is working in my heart that though the skin worms destroy the body of this flesh, I know that in my flesh I shall yet see God. Hallelujah. I feel a good holy touch in my soul, Sister Hall. Woo! I don't think it's going to be many days hence until I go on and be with God, which is far greater than living in this earthly life. Bless His wonderful name. He'll strengthen the heart, let the flesh die. I believe it was Sister Benedict said she had been on the phone out in her house the other night and went into the bedroom. I believe it's right on this. And said, Brother Billy was sitting up in the bed, sleeping sound as a log. Sitting there in the bed saying, I die daily. Is that what you're saying? Huh? What was it, Miss Gwen? I die daily. I die daily. Hallelujah to God. Let us die daily. Let us die daily that God, my friend, may strengthen our hearts that we not fail in the grace of God. And when we preach to others, we ourselves become a castaway. Those legs are said to be pillars. And pillars are, that word pillars means to stand. Or a column or a platform. They're supports. And they're supporting the body. A support is that which holds something up. Now, that's right. Now I'm telling you, hey, the Lord will support His people. Now don't leave me. I've just got to the message. And I ain't got but three little points. It may take a minute to get through them. The Lord supports His people. Now don't leave me. I'm trying to be biblical. Hey, I'm trying to be biblical. Hey, the number, how many legs we got? That's all the Lord's got two. She said, I saw His legs. Two of them. He's not a freak, friend. He doesn't have 8 or 10 or 12 legs. Two of them. And He said them legs look like marble pillars set in sockets of gold. And so there's only two legs. So it is my belief now, and I may be wrong on this, but it's my belief that God supports His people on two main virtues. Now I realize He's got 1,500 spiritual virtues, but I believe you can take every one of them and put them right into two little categories. Somebody, and I'm not going to preach on these, I'm just going to mention them. Somebody said, what are they, preacher? I'm glad you asked. John 1:17 said, for the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now I believe them two legs like pillars of marble are nothing else than the grace of God and the truth of God that supports us and bears us up in our Christian life. Woo! You won't shout, I may come out there in a minute and shout for every one of you sitting out there. I've got done preached up a sweat? Amen. If you can help me, help me. I need your help.
Amen.
Grace and truth.
Amen.
Grace. Grace. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man. That's grace. He loves you. He loves you. And truth. Oh, Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now here's Brother Hall's summary of that grace and truth that supports us. Hey, being set free from the power and penalty of sin, and God's love set upon us.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Truth has made us free from the power and the penalty of sin.
Amen.
And God's love and grace has been set upon us.
Amen.
We have been girded with strength that will not fail us, but will carry us. All the way through. Don't worry about them little boys. Now they ain't bothering me. Praise God, I'm preaching half my time. I'm spitting all over everything. I was just spitting in the prayer meeting this morning. I told them in the prayer meeting, I said, well, you know, I said, it's a, don't get in front of me today. I'm spitting on everything. Are you listening? Hey, look here. I'm talking about two supports, grace and truth. That love of God. Amen. What did Brother Paul say in Romans 8? Who can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? No wonder, son. That leg of love is attached to the body of the church. Yeah, that leg of love. Hallelujah for that leg of love. And that truth, son, that set us free from the power, the penalty, the pleasure. Do you like sin today? The pleasure. And thank God going to set us free someday from the very presence of sin.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
That's right. Hallelujah. Now here's where we get to the application. What does He support us in grace and truth? Come on in the church, children.
Amen.
This is our application. I won't say that He supports us in our marriage.
Amen.
Somebody said, you sure are hammering on marriage an awful lot. I think it's needed. I'm going to tell you, they some marriages, friend, that didn't get all the support they needed and they went down the drain.
That's right.
And some of them are 2- and 3-time losers.
Amen.
Some of you in here have lost it one time, and I'm not chiding you one bit. But I'm going to tell you, you're going the second time around, and may God support you. Oh, yes, and I'm not being ugly, but lest we add sin to sin, may God support you.
Amen.
You listen to what I'm saying. I want to say that, first of all, He will solidify our marriage. Somebody said, what do you mean solidify it, son? He'll make it solid. Yes, sir. He'll make your marriage, those two pillars, Matt, that's supporting your marriage. He'll make your marriage as solid as what those pillars are.
Amen.
Now, I want you to listen to what He said in Matthew's Gospel. Have you not read that He which made them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I'm here to tell you, my friend, somebody said, how's he solidified? By the Word of God. He said, for this reason a man will leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, some of you in here, you better hang on for dear life. Cleave to that woman. Cleave to that man. Son, learn to love one another. Cultivate your relationship. Let it grow and blossom. Oh yes, learn to lean on one another and trust one another. Believe in one another. Yes, sir, live for one another. Because you can't live without one another. Somebody said, oh, preacher, we can live without one another. Well, somebody walked in the church back to my office this morning. Did you hear on the news about the little incident in Hoptown? I said, no, I never heard about it. What about it? A missionary Baptist preacher walked into the church last night in a prayer meeting, put a gun to his wife's head, and blowed her into eternity. And a young lady in the church came and tried to take the baby out of that man's hand, and he turned a gun on the woman and killed her too. I'm talking about a missionary Baptist preacher. Oh, somebody said, preacher, that can't happen to us, can it? I wonder if he thought the same thing. Huh? I'm telling you, friend, jealousy in the heart of a man is a mean, wicked thing. Now, that's right. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm more spiritual than that. If I caught my wife in bed with another man, I'd smile at him and go on. I don't know if I'm that spiritual.
Amen. You're right now. You are right, preacher. You're right.
Somebody said, my husband, my wife ain't going to bed with another man or woman. I wouldn't bet on that either.
Amen.
Been a lot of them thought that. I won't charge you nothing for this today.
Amen.
He'll make, he'll solidify, buddy.
Amen.
He'll stabilize and solidify your marriage by the Scripture.
Amen.
Somebody said, on what grounds? On the grounds that it's the will of God.
Amen.
Boy, now where's the shouting a while ago? Where'd the shouting go?
Amen.
It is the will of God. You are one flesh. What God's put together, don't let some ignoramus up here at the courthouse put asunder. Thank you, Brother Hall. I got to get on. Not only will He solidify your marriage, but He'll sweeten your marriage. You ever read about the marriage of Cana of Galilee? John chapter number 2, when Jesus and His disciples was called to the marriage of down at Cana of Galilee, and when they got there, the mother of Jesus walked over to him and said, they have no wine. Come in the house, children. Wine in the Bible is a type of joy. And what they're saying, what Jesus said, they ain't an ounce of joy in this marriage. God help a man and woman that live together and don't have an ounce of joy in their marriage. You're a miserable lot. You ought to get on the altar of God and get right this morning. You owe it to one another, and you owe it to your life and your family to have joy in what God's put together. I've heard about men and women being married and sleeping in different beds. I won't charge you nothing. How in God's name can you have any joy in your marriage with that kind of a relationship?
Amen.
Amen. They ain't got any joy.
Amen.
They don't have an ounce of joy. We're on target. Jesus said, well, woman, what have I to do with thee? 9 hours not yet come. And she looked at those servants and said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. There were set there six, I mean, some water pots. I forget how many now filled with the six, seven perkins of water, whatever they are. And he said, fill them up. When they filled them up, he bared out to the governor. He gave them wine.
Amen.
He gave them wine. I'm going to tell you what he can do. He can put some joy. Son, I tell you, Christ can put some joy in your marriage. I'm telling you, I'm as happy as a hog rooting in slop with my wife. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, men and ladies. They said, now bear out and give to the governor. That governor drank that wine and he said, He said, that's good stuff, boys. He said, I'm going to tell you something, though. He said, most men give the good wine at the first and save the bad to the last. But he said, you have saved the good wine for the last. Now, I'm here to tell you, He will solidify your marriage. He'll put sweetener in your marriage, and you'll find out, son, when you get a little older, that the wind ain't the worst. Son, it's the best time of your life. He'll make your marriage get sweeter on up the road. Why, I've got this bunch of brass out of my hair. And I can let down mine. And we're there alone so many hours, we can just cultivate our marriage. Son, I'm going to say with her over there, buddy, it's sweeter today than it was 34 plus years ago.
Tell it now.
When me and the sis over there tied the knot, buddy. And I'm going to tell you, oh, Jesus has put some wine. He's put some wine in our marriage, buddy, that we didn't have before.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, if he don't let off the sweetener, I may have to go to NutraSweet, son, or get diabetes, one of the two. Because it's getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter every day.
Amen.
Somebody said, how do we do that? Put him first.
Amen.
Put God first in your life. Get thoroughly right with Him and put Him first.
Amen.
Son, you can come in this church house on Sunday mornings a whistling amazing grace.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. Not only can He solidify marriage and sweeten a marriage, He can save them!
Right.
He can save your marriage!
Amen.
How many of you in here this morning could get up and testify? When Jesus found me, my marriage was all but gone. There wasn't an ounce of love left. There was no respect for one another. There was no care, concern for one another. Our marriage was down the tube. But I'm so glad He found me. In love unbound me. Threw His arms around me. Woo! I'm going to tell you what. That just gave me another good thought. If you will let Jesus throw His arms around you, it won't be long till in that marriage you'll be throwing your arms around one another. Woo hoo! Pucker up, sweet thing, pucker up. I'm saying He'll support you in your marriage. Are you listening to me? We ain't done preaching yet, children. Don't leave me now. He'll support you in your mourning. I didn't say M-O-R-N-I-N-G. I said M-O-U-R-I-N-G. Your mourning. In your sorrow. My time is gone. I don't have time to preach all this. But He'll support you when you're forsaken by those you love. Somebody said, preacher, I ain't never been there. I'm going to tell you somebody has. Little Hagar has. When Sarah said, cast out the bondwoman and her child. My Bible tells me, he said, it was grievous to Abraham. Nevertheless, God said, go on and do as Sarah tells you, for I'll surely take that boy. And I'll make a great nation out of him. But I'm going to tell you, that comfort from the Word of God did not help Hagar one bit, son. And when the bottle of water was gone, Hagar set the lad down and went yonder by a bush, and her heart being filled with sorrow because she had been forsaken by the man that fathered her child.
Amen.
Oh, we never look at it like that, do we?
Amen.
Oh, Abraham, man, walked with God. He ruled his house well. But I'm here to tell you, he listened to a woman, friend. And brought a child into the world that God never intended to bring into the world. Amen. And, oh yeah, and God used it as chastisement against Abraham. And Abraham, you don't ever convince me did not love that boy. And you don't ever convince me that that woman didn't love Abraham. And she loved that little boy. The Bible said there in verse 16 of that chapter, and she sat down over against him and lift up her voice and wept. There she is, brokenhearted, mourning, weeping, been forsaken by those that loved her, been cast out of her own home. But oh, I tell you, God said in verse 19, and you all know this one, don't you? And God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water. Woo! All she wanted was a little bottle. And God said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Hagar. I'm going to give you so much support, I'm going to give you a well to drink from. And when your loved ones have forsaken you, and they will if you live for God. There's one, my friend, that can dig a well instantly. You can drink from that well. When you're forsaken by your family and your loved ones. I want to say secondly, He'll support you in your sorrow and your mourning, not only when you're forsaken by church members or for family members, but when your family members are bound by Satan. Now, I'm going to tell you right there's one we don't much have to worry about because there ain't much mourning going on over our family. Can I share? You ain't going to leave me this morning, are you? Listen very carefully. What are you going to do about that little old Canaanite woman? The Bible calls her a Syrophoenician woman. In Matthew 15, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the country and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Bound by Satan. Somebody said, oh, I never was bound that way. I've always been a child of God. You're an idiot if you believe that. You need to read Ephesians chapter number 2, friend, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul said we all had our conversation in days past. We were led about by the devil. We were led about by the world. And we were by nature the children of wrath even as others. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, the devil has got his hooks. That he's vexed. Help my daughter, she's vexed. When was the last time, friend, that God saw the sorrow of your heart and you fell down on an old-fashioned altar and said, oh God, I see my young son and my daughter. They're growing up in a world and they're vexed by the devil. He's got a hold on them.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what most of us want to do is make every excuse. Come on, I'm going to preach a while right there. We won't make every excuse in the world for our children. They are meaner than hell. And they'll never get right with God until you quit pampering them and making excuses for their sin. Somebody said, well, I don't spank mine. You're a fool, sir.
Amen.
Getting quiet now.
Amen.
Rod of correction, son. We'll drive that disobedience far from them.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you do if it's a little girl? Thrash her little rebellious behind. And they, some of them in here need thrashed.
Amen.
I ain't charging you nothing for this. But I'm going to tell you, my youngins, my children did not throw temper tantrums at my house And bless God, it'll be a cold day in the boogeyman shop when my grandchildren come around and throw temper tantrums. And it'll be a cold day in the boogeyman shop if I'm around that these kids in this school throw temper tantrums back here. We'll allow that mess. And hey, and sir, ma'am, you are a babbling moron if you make excuses. Why don't, hey, that woman didn't make an excuse. She said, have mercy on me. I'm filled with sorrow because my daughter is grievously vexed by a devil. And I'm going to show you the disciples had the same spirit as some of you. Get this woman out of here. Hey, don't trouble the Lord. Why not trouble Him? She did. And she got what she wanted by troubling Him. He said, now wait a minute, ma'am. He said, I've not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, it's not right to cast the bread to the dogs. She said, nevertheless, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And I'm going to tell you, hey, the Lord said, hey, said, so great faith I've not seen. As you believe, so be it unto you. Now I'm going to tell you something, church, by our faith, I told the men in there again today, pray for our kids. Man, I'm burdened over them, Brother Andy. I want to see them right with God, see them saved under the blood. I don't want to have to bury one of them. Neither do I want to have to bury a mommy or a daddy and listen to a rebellious child whine and bawl and go on because that they didn't live right while mommy and daddy was alive.
Amen.
Son, we are preaching this morning.
Amen. You're in
there. I don't tell some of you kids in here that your mom and daddy is living right and you know in your heart you a rebel at heart, buddy. You're going to wait till it's too late. And I love you. And I'll sympathize with you. But when they lay mommy and daddy down up here in a casket, and you come up here whining around all over about how much you love mom and daddy, no, you don't. You little devil. If you loved them, you'd obey them and do right.
That's right now.
You'd do right, children. If you really love mom and daddy, hey, even if you're not saved, obey your mom and daddy in the Lord. God make it so much easier on you. And hey, not to mention the joy and the tranquility and the peace that it'll give in your home and your family. I got to go. He'll support us in our morning when we fail in our spiritual life. We always want to down old Peter. Peter denied the Lord. Yeah, he did. But Jesus looked at him, the Bible said Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine what went through Peter's heart that night when he knew he had denied God? And he knew that the Lord knew he had denied him? The Bible said that he went out and he wept bitterly. But somehow, I believe out there when he was a weeping and a mourning over his failure. Have you ever failed? I sat up in that room this morning, Miss Sharon, and I don't mind telling you. I said, Lord, I feel my physical health is being drained from me and my body seems to be wearing out in the church, rather than coming to fire and a flame for God, it seemed like they're backsliding and I've preached my heart out. I've done all that I know to do. And I said, Lord, I'm telling you, I feel like nothing but a failure. I can enter into Peter's mourning and sorrow and despair that he had. And that's why I believe I can enter into some of yours this morning. But I believe somehow out there when old Peter was a-crying, he remembered these words, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee.
Amen.
That thy faith fail not.
Amen.
Son, you talk about support, Brother Doug.
Amen.
Woo! You got Jesus a praying for you? Oh, what support?
Amen.
He said in John 17:17, I pray for these. I don't pray for them out in the world, but I'm a praying for these.
Yes.
Oh, Holy Father, that where I am, there they may be also.
Yes.
You talking about a, hey, make a man want to charge hell with a water pistol.
Amen.
Swing out over hell on a grapevine, son. Sing Amazing Grace. It saved a wretch like me. Now, I'm about done. One more point and we're done. He'll support us in our marriage, support us in our mourning. I get a hold of this. I'm about done, and I know it's getting late. But He'll support us in our moping.
Amen.
Ain't none of you moping in here today, are you? You know what that is? That's the smallest record player in the world playing My Heart Bleeds for You. No, seriously. I do sympathize with some of you. Because I see you seeming like one day and you're smiling and like you could just be like the Lord, like you could come leaping across the mountains and skipping across the hills. And the next day I see you, you're moping. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. He'll support you in your moping. And look here. And look here. I can tell when you're in your moping period. You know the sure sign of a moping, spirited Christian? Come on in the house now. You withdraw yourself from all fellowship. I know a man. What a man of God he used to be. I don't know whether any of y'all in here know him or not. But he's a praying one day on a mountain. And he asked a little old preacher boy with him, said, run and see if you see anything. Little old preacher boy ran out there and said, come back and said, I see a cloud, Elijah, like about like a man's hand.
Amen.
He said, get down, go tell Elijah that the rain is on the way. Now he had done prayed down fire on that same mountain. He had slain 450 prophets of Baal. He had prayed down rain after 3.5 years drought. In chapter 19, Jezebel sent a word to him and said, Elijah, said, you see, if you are not like these prophets by about tomorrow, about this time, the Bible said that he fled for his life. You know where he went? Now look here. He went down into the wilderness of Judah, get this now, and left his servant, said, stay here. And he withdrew himself from all fellowship. No, I'm just done, I guess. Nobody loves me no more. Hi, juniper tree. Don't try to comfort me, Mr. Juniper tree. Nobody don't love me. And there's not another prophet in the country. Ain't another Christian in the world going through what I'm going through, Mr. Juniper Tree. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And nobody knows my sorrow. Oh, yes, they do.
Amen.
Well, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, you got two marble pillars set in sockets of gold, and they know all about it.
Amen.
Old Elijah sat down all by himself with nobody else around. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Nobody loves me now. I'm going to lay down here and take a nap.
Amen.
Come here, Sam. Lay down now. Just lay down. Lay down. Turn around. I don't want you laying like that. Turn around. Now, don't get up now until I tell you to. Get up, Elijah. You know what God done? Read it. The angel of the Lord touched him!
Amen.
Some of you just need a touch!
Amen.
Wow, you need a touch.
Amen.
And look here. And he sat up. He sat up. He said, there's a bottle of water and some bread. You can't improve on the Word of God and a hot loaf from God's oven. I believe that angel preached to him.
Amen. Amen.
Gave him the Word of God and let her rip.
Amen.
Now you know, hey, how deep into moping he is. He just laid back down. Get up, Elijah. Set up. Eat the bread and drink the water. Because the journey, are you listening to me? The journey's too long for you. You can sit down. The journey's too long for you.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, friend, this journey that we're in is too long for you.
Amen.
Unless you get a touch from God,
Amen,
and a little drink of water, and a warm loaf from God's
Amen
oven. I'm going to tell you, there was another man. There's another man entered into a moping period. And he got down in the mouth just doing the will of God. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Nope, Lord, I'm going to Tarshish. Make a long story short, God sent him on down to Nineveh and he preached. And when he got done preaching, he just went out and sat down by the road. And both of these fellows used the same terminology. Lord, it'd be good if I'd just die. That's what they said, both of them, Elijah and Jonah both. Be good for me if I just die. Somebody said, did the Lord support him? Sure did. He let a gourd grow to comfort him from the sun that was beating down upon his head.
Amen.
Friend, hey, God don't want us living like that.
Amen.
God don't want us living like that. And it may be the marriages and the sorrow that's got us moping. I believe I'd hit on that altar this morning if it was. Somebody said, oh, preacher, folks, if I get up this morning, people will know I got a problem. You mean they don't anyway?
That's right.
You've already told 90% of the people about it. Most folks have. Most folks that's got troubles tell almost everybody else about it. You confide in people. Jesus will carry you through.
Amen.
If you will let him. Let's stand together. Our Father, it's with a grateful heart that I pause in these moments to thank you, Lord, for your help with me this morning. I've confessed to thy people the discouragement because of the physical problems. But Lord, I'm thankful that you gave me a warm loaf, a bottle of water, and a good touch. And I believe I can go in the energy of that. I pray you'll help others. I pray you'll help our people. Just simply realize, Lord, that we've got a great high priest whose legs are like pillars of marble set. They're set in sockets of gold. Save somebody, bless others, strengthen your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. While these are praying all over the building, God spoke into your heart. You need to pray. I surrender all. I don't think we'll even sing. I think we're just letting this all play that. You just let God do a work in your heart. Just let God do a work in your soul. That's right. He will make your marriage what it ought to be and fill it full of joy. He'll take that sorrowful spirit and bless it with happiness. And He'll take that moping heart and make all joy abound. Hope abide. You'll just surrender it all to Him. Maybe you just need to get saved. Maybe some folks just need to get saved. I surrender all. Have you really surrendered it all? Do you? Just raise it this morning. Raise the flag. Raise the flag. I surrender, Lord. I surrender it all. Somebody said, preacher, you said some things this morning you ought not to say. Is that right? I'm glad God called me to preach. Amen. I tried three different outlines before I settled on this one. I tried to outline His legs as they stand at the door, in the midst. I did what else? I tried to use all of them, standing, stooping, stepping. God said, no, preacher. There's some folks that need a lot of support. He'll give it to you. He's wonderful. I love you.